Do you think of your job as just a job or as a ministry, or maybe both? We're going to talk about that today on Walking Worthy in the Workplace and Life. I'm Mary Lohman, and today I have a good friend with me, Sharon Ballou. Sharon, welcome.
Thank you, Mary. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. She's a good friend of mine, and she has a great and encouraging testimony about how God has led her into the career that she now has. And I just wanted her to share that with us today. Sharon, I know that you are an educated woman. Right? You have a couple of degrees.
Yes, I have an undergraduate degree in engineering, and then I went back to school after I finished homeschooling my two sons and got a degree in health information management.
So you could go a lot of different directions with your career, with your background, with your experience. You put that on hold to raise your two sons and homeschool them all the way, right?
Yes, from birth to the end of 12th grade.
That's right. And I can tell you, because I know these boys, they're not boys anymore, they're men, that they are wonderful young men and they're extraordinary. They are succeeding in remarkable ways.
Yeah. So my oldest son, he graduated with a degree in accounting and finance, and he works downtown for J.P. Morgan Chase. And my younger son is finishing his undergraduate degree in viola performance, and he's in the middle of applying for grad school.
Yeah, he's very talented. So they are wonderful young men. But now that they are on their own, you have decided to get back into the career. So I want you to explain the career you have chosen and why.
Well, initially I was going to go into health information management because I thought with the flexibility and being able to work from home, since my husband travels for work a lot, I thought I could travel with him and just work via the computer. Well, then COVID hit. March of 2020, we were all at home. My younger son had to stay home from university. I was at home. So there were no jobs in health information management because the hospitals were shut. Everything was shut down. So during that time, people had been saying to me, classmates, oh, we wish you were teaching our class. And then my neighbor across the street said, I want you to come work for my non-for-profit organization as a tutor. I actually interviewed for the job, but I turned it down because I thought, you know, my future was in health information management. And then a good friend of my husband said, you should tutor. So I kept getting people saying, you should teach, you should tutor. I didn't want to teach. I actually went on YouTube and watched why I left teaching videos. So I was like, no, I'm not going in the classroom. And I just kept feeling an unction from the Holy Spirit to tutor. So I went online. I found a tutoring website. I signed up. And immediately I started getting contacts. My first student was actually an online student in Alaska.
Wow.
And then my first in-person student, which was in September 2020, the mom contacted me and she said, I need help. I need help. My daughter can't do math and I need help. So I'm like, okay, she needs help, not knowing what she was talking about. I showed up the first day and it was during COVID, September 2020. And I was helping this girl, and as I sat there, helping her in this strange house with people I had never met before, I said, Lord, I would do this for free.
Really?
Yes. It was just that clear. So to make a long...
Why did that thought take over?
I think it was just the Holy Spirit showing me this is it. And I felt the same way when I started homeschooling. You know, I was in the corporate world. I had my degree. I was working. And then when I decided through a lot of leading of the Holy Spirit and James Dobson talking about the problems with the public schools, when I decided to homeschool, when we decided as a family to homeschool, and I would teach my sons, I loved it. I loved every minute of homeschooling. And so I just had that same, it was like a realization, like this is it. This is what you should be doing.
And you were determined not to do it.
Well, I was just thinking, that's not what I went to school for.
Right. You have all this education.
Right. And I just finished another degree. So why am I going to be tutoring people? So so I tutored the girl. And she and I didn't know what the mom meant when she said, I need help. And so I saw what she meant. For whatever reason, the girl could not do addition. She just could not do it. She could do multiplication, division. She could do measurement. She could do place value. And I told the mom one day, maybe about 6 months into this, I said, there's something blocking her. And she said, do you see it? Because I see it. And I said, yes, I see it. I said, I don't know what it is. I said, I don't know if somebody made fun of her when she was learning to do addition and she just like decided she couldn't do it. I said, but we're going to pray about it. And we just kept working at it, and eventually she could. Now, out of this relationship, I shared the gospel with the mom. Mm-hmm. One time, the daughter asked me for a Bible. Now, the sad thing is they eventually moved away because where they lived, there was like a gang shootout, and there was just so much dysfunction in the girl's school. Mm. And when I say dysfunction, I would show up on a Tuesday to mom. The daughter would tell me, oh, the teacher said we're all giving her a headache. Then the next week, the daughter said the teacher walked out of the classroom and left
us. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, isn't that illegal? And then the next week, the teacher said she was quitting because the students were giving her high blood pressure. So the mom said a month later, she said, do you realize my daughter's class, now these are sixth graders, has not had math instruction for a whole month. She said, but because of what you're giving us, it got to the point where I just give them the workbooks. She said, because of what you're giving us and what you're sending us, she said, I come home and do an hour of math every day with this girl. And then I found out that the mom was paying me almost double what she made an hour. So to tutor to help her daughter.
Wow.
And I just said, you know, Lord, these people need help. You know, when she said, I need help, I didn't understand what that meant, but I've heard that so many times over and over again. And because I'm Black, a lot of the parents will say, you're one of us. Mm. You can help us.
Mm.
And if you did it with your sons, you can do it with my kids.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
How
and
God
just like, what?
Paired you all along.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're passionate about what you do.
Yes,
I do. And you have more students, clients, and you can handle.
I do. On average, I'm turning down 2 students a week. And I tell the parents, and it's true, I said, I'm not a teacher. I was someone that homeschooled my kids. And I just teach your kids the way I would teach mine, because that's all I know. I teach them, you know, like they're my own. But, you know, the bad thing is, Mary, one thing the Lord showed me, because, you know, I had no training, quote unquote, as a tutor. So he's teaching me how to tutor and how to come alongside these people. There's something missing. The fact that they need a tutor, that means the child's education is either impacted. But a lot of times I'm finding it's the family dynamic and the child's need comes out of that.
Interesting. So it's not just the inadequacies of the school system,
right,
which are big enough on
yes.
their own, but you're seeing that it's that home life.
It's the home life.
And like yet,
one situation I had, this woman contacted me, and it wasn't even the mom. It was the grandparent. And I've seen this several times. The grandparent will say, I just can't let my grandchild fail. So the parent isn't even taking the initiative. It's somebody else in the family saying, I will pay for the tutoring. This woman was so dysfunctional that she couldn't even be there to open the door.
Wow. You mean she just couldn't get up and walk to the door?
No, she was trying to run a business. And
oh,
then
I see.
She would leave the house when I would come over, which she wasn't supposed to because these are minors. So you need an adult there for their protection and then for mine.
For your protection, right.
And she was just so dysfunctional. She was out trying to do her own thing. And she was just really dysfunctional. And one point, a woman in the house, I don't even know who lived in this house. A woman in the house came up and said, well, he's failing reading. And I said, okay. And so she was like, well, I think you need to focus your tutoring on what he's failing at. I said, well, that's the plan if I know. I said, I was hired to teach him math. So I don't know if he's failing unless someone tells me. I said, I don't have any problem with teaching him. So she left, and I was like, who was that? See, the woman didn't introduce herself, just total dysfunctionality. So the mom comes back, and I said, well, his grandmother said he's failing in reading. And she said, she told you that? I said, yes, she told me that. So anyway, I asked the boy, why are you failing? He told me, I'm not turning in the assignments because I have other things to do.
So it's total lack of any supervision,
mm-hmm.
anybody who cared.
Yeah.
Whether this child was learning what he needed to learn.
Well, unfortunately, you have sometimes it's ignorance, but sometimes it's passivity in the parents. So they'll say, well, I sent him to school. So the school's not teaching him. And then where I come in is they'll say, well, I hired a tutor. And I'm like, no. No, we're not going to go there. I'm meeting this child once a week. There's only so much I can do. It can't be, well, I hired a tutor, so now it's my responsibility whether or not this child succeeds. So that mother, when the boy told me I'm not turning in my assignments, I turned to her and said, that's a parental issue. That doesn't have anything to do with me.
Right.
I'm just a tutor. I can teach him, but you're responsible for whether he turns in the assignments or not. So a lot of the lack of educational progress or whatever you want to call it, a lot of times it can be, not always, because I have some wonderful parents who are doing everything they can. They're fighting for their children. Sometimes it's because of the dysfunction in the family.
I can imagine. Now, I happen to know that you live in Chicago, in the city, on the South Side.
Yes.
So you're right in the heart of the neediest part of Chicago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the neediest part for the children.
Yes.
I would imagine that the schools there are not nearly as good as they are in other parts of the city. Would
right.
that be true?
Yes.
And so the children that you often work with are, they're just really needy
yeah.
of education. And we know that without education, they don't have a lot of hope to
exactly.
get out of the situation. But Sharon, I want you to tell how God is using you over and beyond what you're teaching those kids.
Okay. Well, two instances in particular. I have a family. The mother is just a regular old American woman. The family, the father and the grandmother are from Africa and they're Muslim. So I'm a Christian.
Of course.
I come in and I tutor. And so the little boy, he's only five. There's a lot of spiritual warfare there.
Wow.
Between me and the little boy. Give you an example. One time we were studying a history book, and the book said BCE, before Common Era. So I'm explaining to him, I said, well, you know, this isn't how it always was. They're trying to change history. It used to say BC, you know, before Christ, and then AD in the year of our Lord. And I said, so I just want you to know that this isn't how it was always. So then he says, the little five-year-old Muslim boy, he says, well, I guess that BCE stands for Allah. And I said, honey, Allah has never split history. That's Jesus Christ, okay? So I have this back and forth with this little five-year-old Muslim boy. And then the Holy Spirit told me, since it's the Christmas season, he said, play Christmas carols for him. So every day as part of his homeschool, when I go there, I go there 3 days a week, I play O Come All Ye Faithful, Little Town of Bethlehem, Joy to the World, Little Drummer Boy. And he can read, you know, this boy is very, very smart. So yesterday when we were looking at one of our videos on my phone on YouTube, he said, I'm reading the words, I'm singing along. So it's like the Lord is like, get it in there. So then I read this little book I got, The Christmas Story. And it's beautifully illustrated. I got it from the dollar store. So it's basically Luke 2, but without the Bible verses. So I'm reading it to him. So we finish. Then he says, where did you get that book from? And I said, what do you mean, where did I get it from? I said, I got it from the dollar store. He said, he's five. He said, because maybe you should have gotten that book from a different store. And I said, why? He said, that way, maybe if you spent more money on that book, you would know if that story was true or not.
Wow.
I said, this is the truest story you will ever hear in your entire life. And I'm going to read it again next week. But I have to be careful because, you know, the parents aren't paying me to proselytize.
Right.
And these are children.
Right.
But the mother gave me the green light. One day we were having a discussion and I said, you know, I try to be respectful. You know, I know the grandmother and the father are Muslim. But the Holy Spirit showed me that the strong man in this family is the grandmother. I think she's the one that keeps pushing the Islam. So I just keep, I have a good relationship with her. I keep complimenting her, but I tell them, I'm a Christian. I will pray for you. I will do this. So, but the mother of the little boy, she said, no, we don't have any problem with Christian curriculum.
Wow.
So I was like, well, praise the Lord. So, but the boy, and I tell people, and it sounds really harsh, I said, but the demon in him pushes back because he's being raised in Islam.
Wow.
So we get this spiritual warfare between me and this five-year-old child. Then the other one, it's not him. And they have the Quran up on the walls in their house. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? So when I go there, I pray. I pray that salvation would come to this house. I said, Lord, one day I pray that they'll take these Qurans and throw them in the trash where they belong. And I do. I pray for all of them. And then the other one I have is just the mother loves her son, but this situation is a hot mess. The father is trying to teach the little boy to curse. He lets him listen to gangster rap. He will call the mother up and say, I don't want my son to be homeschooled. I don't want him to be a sissy. I want him to be tough. I want him to be hard. And this boy is 5 years old.
And his father's a felon, right?
Yeah, a convicted felon who won't work. And so with them, I've witnessed to both of the moms, the mom of the little Muslim boy and this mother, and I've witnessed to her. She says she's a Christian. And one time when I showed up, the little boy was at the father's house. So she was like, well, I'm paying you, so you might as well just sit here and talk. And she was like, oh, Miss Sharon, that's what they call me, Miss Sharon. She said, Miss Sharon, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I said, you're a Christian, but you're fornicating with your boyfriend? That's not biblical. So you're not going to have these conversations with people. So she was like, I'm trying to get myself together. So I'm giving her the gospel or whatever. So she did start going to church, and she started coming to your Tuesday night class. And now when I show up, and this boy, I mean, her son is, she was like, I want you to pray with him. I read to him the beginner Bible. And if I show up and I'm rushing in the morning and I get there and I'm like, let's sit down and get started. She'll say, Miss Sharon, you didn't pray with him. She will call me for prayer. She said that I'm like her surrogate mom because her mother's dead. And unfortunately, her father committed suicide during COVID. So sometimes I'm just like, Lord, these things are just a mess. You know, they can be overwhelming, the
yes,
lives and the choices that these people make. And I just say, Lord, we just need you. They need you. So I've been able to pray. I've given the gospel about to 4 or 5 moms. They will call me and ask for prayer. And, you know, like the one with the little Muslim boy, to show you that I'm shocked by what the Lord does. The mom was saying something about moving out of Chicago or possibly moving. And I said, yeah, but it's hard to move, you know, when you got your family here and all this stuff. And she said, and you're here.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm here. And so I just don't see that because sometimes you just get caught up in the doing.
Yeah. And you don't realize how God is using
it.
But Sharon, I've been thinking about if you had insisted that you needed a job in healthcare where your degree is and where you worked hard to earn that degree and be qualified for those jobs, which pay, I'm sure, good money. And you have settled. You have now seeing God leading you in a totally different direction.
Right.
This is nothing like healthcare.
Nope.
No. And yet God has equipped you, number one, by training your two boys.
Right.
And so you know how to deal with children.
Right.
And you know how to do it successfully. But you're going there as God's ambassador.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're teaching them. You're doing what you're paid to do. You're helping them so, so much. But as this mother just said to you, we can't move away because we wouldn't have you then.
Yeah. I mean, it's just shocking. And one thing I see is that the Lord doesn't waste anything. Because of the academic success that my sons had, and I, of course, I put that on my bio because that's how I get my clients, that gave me credibility. It gives me credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Lord, you don't waste anything. You use it all.
You use it all.
And so it's just, I don't know, my heart just, I love my two sons, and these parents love their kids, and I'm just coming alongside. Like I told my husband, God has called me to the fight for these kids, and that's how I look at it.
You know, I'm just so, I'm inspired by your story, because I think there are a lot of people even listening to us now who think they have to have the highest paying job, they have to have the job that has a title, that's climbing a ladder, and you could do that, but you have chosen to go kind of undercover.
Yeah.
But you're reaching individual families, really, not just kids, but families.
Mm-hmm.
You're able, they give you an open door
yeah.
to talk about the Lord. You wouldn't have that in a corporate
no.
job.
No.
You know?
And then because I can say, well, it's God that's given an increase. God is blessing. Oh, we're going to pray about this. We're going to ask the Lord to make this possible. We're going to ask the Lord. Like, I have one student now, I've been tutoring him for the selective enrollment high school exam. And he's online. He's in San Francisco. And I don't know what religious affiliation they are. But when the dad contacted me 3 months ago, he was like, my son didn't do good on the practice test. He didn't do good at all. He said he did horribly. He needs help. And I keep hearing it. They keep saying, I need help. So I've been tutoring this boy. And he's about to give me a stroke. And I said, Lord, you know, this is beyond me. He's a sweet boy. He's a good boy. And they're trying to get him to have a high enough score where he can get into maybe a Catholic school with at least enough scholarship money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, this, you know. So I, when he was getting ready to take the test, when it was our last tutoring session, I said, I'm just going to pray for you. I just prayed for him. And he was like, thank you. And sometimes, you know, Lord's just like, just do it. Just pray. Not that I ever don't pray, but I just felt like, I'm just going to pray for you. And it's really a work of God. So I have Birdie praying mm-hmm. and Mary Ellen praying in our 7 a.m. prayer meeting. I'm like, we need prayer. I need you guys to pray. So then that way, I'm hoping he gets a good score. And actually, the parents said, can you continue to tutor him to get him ready for ninth grade? And I was telling my husband, I was hoping to be gone by the time these test scores came back. I was like, okay.
And he's in San Francisco.
He's in San Francisco. It's amazing. But I'm hoping that the scores are good enough where the parents will say, this is amazing. And then I can say, you know what? I'm a Christian. The Lord did this.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I just wanted to share your story with the people who tune in to us, because I think it's an inspiration. It's also a lesson, you know, mm-hmm. that where God wants you to go is the best place.
It is.
I mean,
it
you're is. Excited about this.
I am. I love it.
You're passionate yeah. about it. It makes your, I mean, you have so many opportunities mm-hmm. and yet probably done, you could, I think you could earn a lot more money somewhere else, mm-hmm. but you've given that up.
Yeah.
And taken on this job where God opens doors. So I just think it's a good story to remind us where God takes us is always best.
It is. And it's so interesting and it's so rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have, I mean, you just told me a few stories.
Right.
You could tell me many more
right. mm-hmm.
of what God's doing in the lives of these individuals. Mm-hmm. And you have more clients than you can take
yeah,
right now.
I do.
So God's good.
He is so good.
It's just wonderful to let him lead us.
It is.
And the secret is, I know, Sharon, she prays about everything.
I do. I mean, I have a ton of reasons to pray now. And a bunch of people to pray for.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she looks for the Holy Spirit's leading.
Yes.
She looks for it mm-hmm. and says, is this the way you want me to go? And although the world would say, you didn't make such a good choice,
yeah.
God's way is always good.
It
Sharon,
is.
I appreciate you talking with us today.
Well, thank
really
you for
do.
Having me.
Yeah, I think it'll inspire a lot of women. Mm-hmm. It's just been great to discuss this with you. And we pray that this has been a blessing and encouragement as we all seek to walk worthy in the workplace and in life.